This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Major Kendra Rotunda, who served as a member of the U.S. Army's prosecution team at Guantanamo Bay. She's also the author of Honor Bound, Inside the Guantanamo Trials, and she's a professor at the Chapman University Law School in California. We want to get her reaction to the decision of the Obama administration late last week to hold five alleged 9/11 conspirators on trial in civilian court in New York City. And Kendra, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Greg.
Well, you and I have talked in the past, and your book also touches on this, about why you think the military tribunals are the better way to go in prosecuting these 9/11 terrorists. What was your reaction on Friday when you heard that the administration was, in fact, going to put at least five of them on trial in civilian court?
Well, I wasn't particularly surprised because, you know, the Obama administration has been talking about possibly trying them in civilian courts for some time now. But I do think it is a bad decision. And I've always said that from the beginning when we began talking about bringing them to U.S. courts. We do have a process to try detainees captured in a war under the Military Commissions Act, which Congress passed in 2006, again reapproved in 2009. And that makes the most sense. There are a number of risks, I think, and problems with bringing detainees to the United States. One of them is just a security problem. You know, General Mukasey, former Attorney General, was the sitting judge in the 1993 World Trade Center case. And, you know, he has had security for years after that. Well, there could be security risks to jurors who are going to be sitting there. And the other thing is all of the legal motions and wrangling that's going to happen. You know, there'll probably be speedy trial motions raised, Miranda motions raised that the detainees were not given their Miranda warnings. There may be an effort for a change of venue. There may be double jeopardy motions. So to think that this is going to be over in any quick way, I think, is not the case. You know, we saw with Moussaoui, the 20th hijacker, it took 4 years to bring him to trial. He had the court system tied up in knots, and ultimately, you know, he pled guilty, and I'm sure that the prosecutors really had a sigh of relief. So I think there are a lot of problems with bringing them to the United States.
Kendra, let me follow up on one point you made and then also bring up a couple of the arguments made by those who like this decision. First of all, at the very same time the Attorney General announced that these five would be on trial in civilian court, he said that five others would be facing trial in the military tribunal. So it clearly sounds like he's okay with the system. Why do you think if the system's okay, they decided to split which venues would hold these cases?
Well, you know, I have the same question. I think not only is there no law really to support bringing the 9/11 conspirators to New York City, but it is a schizophrenic legal view. I mean, on one hand, some of them are going to be tried in New York in civilian courts. On the other hand, they'll be tried in military commissions. You're right that it certainly suggests that military commissions are fair. If they're not fair, nobody should be tried before them. But the greatest concern, I think, is that it sends a message to our enemies that if you're going to attack us, make darn sure that you attack us and kill thousands of innocent civilians on our own shores. Because if you do that, you get a U.S. trial with all the rights that U.S. citizens would get. If you simply engage the enemy abroad, you'll get a military trial. And I think that's a perverse incentive.
Kendra, you mentioned Zacharias Moussaoui, and some in support of the president's decision here and the attorney general's decision are pointing to that case and the Richard Reed case as well, saying that people of all political stripes were perfectly fine with seeing them prosecuted in a federal court, a civilian court. Why should it be different for these people if they're of the same ilk? How do you counter that?
Well, you know, there were a number of problems with bringing Moussaoui to trial, and one of those was that it opened up a lot of our methods and means of gathering intelligence. There was a lot of legal wrangling between defense and prosecutors on that. And ultimately, you know, he went ahead and pled guilty, so he did get sentenced. But there's a good chance that he might not have been able to be sentenced. The problem when you have, when you change the rules in the middle, which is what we're doing here, I mean, we arrested detainees, detained them, fully planned that they would be tried before military commissions, and so they weren't afforded rights like speedy trial, they weren't read their Miranda rights, and now all of that is going to come into question. And so there's no doubt that there's going to be a lot of legal legal wrangling. It definitely was not an easy decision with the Moussaoui case. And, you know, there's a security risk to our country in doing it. So, you know, I think that, you know, again, I just disagree with the decision. And I think it's not at all what the laws of war suggest and what they require.
Kendra, some who are associated with the prosecution of the suspects and eventually the convicts in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing say they don't like this decision because back when they were prosecuting this case, I guess about 16 years ago now, they said that because it was in civilian court and because of the discovery motions and so forth, everything the government knew about terrorist operations was eventually revealed. What can you tell us about that, and would that happen again?
You know, that's absolutely right. Andrew McCarthy, who was a federal prosecutor, has explained that during the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, they had to release in discovery a list of potential defendants or possible co-conspirators that included 200 names on it. And that once they did that, it was then later provided to bin Laden, who was then in the Sudan. And so he was able to see which operatives we knew about, what we knew about them, that he himself was on that list, and, you know, could have then changed his methods and planning as a result of that. And so it did open up a lot of what we knew. I mean, it really is going to be, in many ways, an open book to our enemies. You know, while we are still at war and while we still have troops serving abroad and in harm's way. So I think that Andy McCarthy is definitely right about that. I think that we should learn some of the lessons we learned in 93, and instead of going back to this pre-9/11 posture of treating these as common criminals, I do think it makes sense to treat them as war criminals and to give them military commissions and not U.S. criminal courts and Article III trials.
On the flip side of the argument, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy, says, we have a justice system that's the envy of the world. This is how it's supposed to work, and then everyone will see why we're better than our enemies and how this is supposed to operate. This is how the system works. How do you react to that?
Well, the problem is this is not how it is supposed to work in a time of war with enemy combatants. We have a body of law that deals with just this issue, and it allows us to bring detainees to trial in military courts. And the reason is because it's very difficult to both fight a war and, you know, secure a crime scene and have chain of custody for every document that we pick up and indict every person that we want to bring to trial in military commissions. The whole reason you have military trials is to accommodate the harsh realities of fighting a war at the same time with trying to bring justice to war criminals. And so when he says we have this system is not designed that we have in the United States, is not designed to apply to enemy combatants who are not U.S. citizens. It is not designed to apply to trials, war crimes committed during a time of war. We have a long history of military commissions going all the way back to the Revolutionary War. We had a similar situation during World War II when Nazi saboteurs came ashore in the United States to watch building and surveil buildings and decide which targets in the U.S. should be attacked. And they were caught and they were tried by military commission. And we have a U.S. Supreme Court case that is still good law saying that that was the appropriate thing to do. And so fast forward now to 2009, we have a very similar situation, but the Obama administration just doing an about-face and ignoring all of the case precedent, ignoring our long history of military commissions, and affording rights to terrorists captured abroad that have never been afforded previously.
Last 30 seconds or so here, Kendra, and it's obvious you disagree with this decision. Is there a possible silver lining on one issue we've discussed in the past? And you mentioned during the Hamdan trial in the military commission that in the military commission, there's actually a higher standard of proof for a charge like conspiracy to commit terrorism. Does that bode in favor of the prosecution if this is to go forward in civilian court?
Well, you know, assuming that the prosecution can survive all of the motions that are going to be coming down from defense counsel, including, you know, motions to dismiss because of speedy trial violations, because of Miranda rights violations, possibly double jeopardy, if they're able to actually get through all of these motions and get to trial, it is true that the standard for conspiracy in the United States it is easier to convict on conspiracy to support terrorism in U.S. courts than it is in Guantanamo Bay. So I've always thought that was kind of a strange aspect of the Military Commissions Act. And it is true that if they get that far in this trial, we will more likely get a conviction on conspiracy in New York than we would in Guantanamo Bay. But again, there's a lot of hoops to get through before we even get to the merits in the civilian court here in New York.
Well, as you mentioned, there are a lot of hurdles to clear, and thanks for doing such a great job of explaining what they are and what type of challenges they may present. Thank you so much, Kendra, for being
with us. Thanks, Greg. Good to be with you.
Kendra Rotunda, U.S. Army Major retired. Her book is Honor Bound, Inside the Guantanamo Trials. She's currently a professor at the Chapman University School of Law in California. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.